I grabbed the other one. There we go. Well, good morning. We are in the home stretch of our series on the Ten Commandments, and we have one more next week. And some of you are thinking, good news, we're going to be finished with this. Well, all right, fine. But the bad news is we're supposed to live it the rest of our lives. So it doesn't really matter if the series ends or not. So I want to start off with this statement. Fake news. What exactly is it? Well, just kind of plainly put, fake news is news that lacks credibility and is designed to disrupt or undermine a person or a cause by misleading or misinforming readers or listeners. Fake news is meant to create a stir with words that are often shocking, but typically less than accurate. Fake news is a relatively new phenomenon because of social media, but the concept of spreading false reports has been around for a really, really, really long time. As a matter of fact, the Bible even mentions this. The idea of fake news is even in the Ten Commandments. So if you have your Bibles with me, Exodus chapter 20, page 52 in your pew Bible, if you'd like to use that. Exodus chapter 20, as we look at word number 9 and we think about the idea of fake news, I really want that to be something that's in your mind as you interact this morning with me and as you leave. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to be looking at verse number 16 as we continue in our series here. Here's the word from the Lord to Moses and the people of Israel, and ultimately to us, verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Summarized, word number 9 is, do not lie about your neighbor. Here it comes. Don't spread fake news. Don't spread fake news. That is word number 9. And I have found that observing people, sometimes when we are trying to remember the Ten Commandments in order, we're trying to list them off in our mind or say them to somebody, or we're just trying to remember the Ten Commandments at all, often when we get to this command, people will abbreviate it and say, do not lie. But that's actually too narrow, too general of a summary of this particular commandment, because God describes a very specific type of lying. So word number 9 is really not just do not lie. It's talking about the type of lying that violates loving people. Because remember, Ten Commandments, love God, love people. So this word number 9 is not just about lying. It's about lying that specifically violates loving people. So there are two questions I want to initially address quickly to set the foundation for our time together, all right? Here's the first question. What exactly is a false testimony? I'm not talking about the different colors of lies and those kind of things that I'm talking about, but what exactly is a false testimony? Well, it is using false information to harm someone with the indirect or direct intent of bringing benefit to yourself. This is what often happens when it comes to false testimony. It's not just going after somebody with words or other types of things to harm them or to impugn their character or to put them in a low setting. It's also either indirectly or directly meant to make us look good, if we're honest. Because typically, if we're going to say something about somebody else, we're hoping someone will say, well, you're right, but you're so much better than that. So that's a false testimony. But then there's another question that has to be answered that puts us on the hook, all of us on the hook. I'm so sorry. Who's my neighbor? Here it is. My neighbor is anyone God brings into my life, friend or foe. So we're all on the hook in this way. You mean to tell me that obnoxious coworker? I can't say a false testimony about them or about her. They deserve it. No, guess what? They're your neighbor. Friend or foe. Maybe you actually have one of those literal neighbors that you talk to the other neighbors about. Be careful, because who's your neighbor? Anyone. Let's say it together, anyone. Anyone God brings into your life, friend or foe. So back to Exodus 20, verse 16, it says, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Word number 9 is a big deal, but why? Let's give the context, the historical context of why this is such a big deal, or why it was such a big deal. In the context of Exodus 20 and the people of Israel, remember, they've just left Egypt. They're forming a nation together for the very first time. So as they gather together, word number 9 is a big deal because giving a false testimony against your neighbor could have significant impact on their life and on their family. It could have a radical impact. If this false testimony was unchallenged or believed, it could really cause some major issues for people. And as we will see, if you were caught giving a false testimony, you also were in kind of in charge of some really serious consequences coming your way. You see, the people in the wilderness and Moses relied upon credible witnesses to make their legal system work. In order to develop love and community among the people, they needed credible witnesses. Why? Why? Well, folks, let's think about it. In Exodus 20, there are no DNA tests. There's no fingerprints. No surveillance cameras in the desert. No one's whipping out an iPhone to go, hey, I'll be the witness right here. So they relied upon credible witnesses to share and to come to the legal defense and also to help with the community and the love that was there. So the importance of word number 9 is best understood by us thinking about for just a moment about the legal system that was formed in Exodus chapter 20. So if you have your Bibles with me again, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17, page 133. Last week I alluded to the fact I love taking you to some of these books that maybe you don't spend a lot of time in. So let's go to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Book number 5, Deuteronomy chapter 17, page 133. Let's look at the legal system, the justice system of the Old Testament to set the stage for why this is so important. And I want you to listen or read along or follow on the screen to see what's happening here, why it's so important to get this right. Chapter 17 and verse 6. It says, on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses, a person is to be put to... Oh, wow, that's pretty severe. So 2 or 3 witnesses, if they agree and it's something that is has the consequence of a death sentence, it's going to be carried out. But no one is to be put to death on the testimony of only 1 witness. That's pretty significant. And then a couple pages over to Deuteronomy chapter 19. Again, looking at the seriousness of this. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. 1 witness is not enough to convict anyone accused of a crime or offense that they may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. So in that system, they wouldn't just take 1, they needed 2 or 3. And did the actual witnesses matter? Absolutely, because it says, if a malicious or false witness takes the stand to accuse someone of a crime, the 2 people involved in the dispute must stand in the presence of the Lord before the priest and the judges who are in office at the time. The judges must make a thorough investigation, and if the witness proves to be a liar, giving false testimony about a fellow Israelite, wait for it. Listen what happens if you give a false testimony. Then due to the false witness, as that witness intended to do to the other party, you must purge the evil from among you. So whatever you were hoping was going to happen to that person, if you're caught giving a false testimony, it came right back on you. And then it goes on to say this, the rest of the people will hear of this and be afraid, and never again will such an evil thing be done among you. Show no pity, life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, hand for a hand, foot for a foot. Wow. Now, I'm glad we're not under the Old Testament law, but we probably would be serving ourselves well in our interaction with other people. The next time we think about giving a false testimony and trying to hurt somebody's reputation, realizing that we stand before God, yes? And if we do it and we get caught, we get exactly what we wanted them to get, we might think twice about doing that. So this is serious business. And there are some other strong statements in the Bible about not bearing false witness that I want you to see. I want you to be active with your Bibles with me today. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. There's some serious statements as it relates to this idea of fake news. So Proverbs chapter 6, as you're turning there, it's 441 in your pew Bibles. As you're turning to Proverbs 6, here's the first reason why we need to take fake news really seriously. Here it is. Fake news is on the God hates it list. Fake news is on the God hates it list. That should say hates it. I'm sorry. Add the S there. God hates it list. I don't know about you. I struggle enough with stuff that I'm not sure that God may be pleased or not pleased with. But stuff that I know that he hates, should I be avoiding that? That's a rhetorical question that should be answered with a yes. So you think, okay, yeah, Pastor Jay, easy. I got these things down. I know what God hates. I'm going to back off from those. Do we really? Look at Proverbs 6, starting verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Next one. False witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So one of the seven things that are identified that God hates is a false testimony. So next time I'm tempted to say something about somebody that's not true to harm them, I should keep in the back of my mind, God hates it. Wow. So this moves way beyond just moralism. We have to be careful that in our churches, we're not just teaching people to be moral, just to be nice people. The reason why I should be obeying word number 9 is because when I disobey it, I'm dishonoring God. He hates it. Here's another reason why we should take it seriously. You're in Proverbs 6. Turn over to Proverbs 14, if you would. I'll let you turn there for a moment before I give you the next statement about why we should take fake news so seriously. It's on God's hated list. But here's a second reason why. Proverbs chapter 14, here's a second reason why fake news is so serious. When it comes to news, and I'm not a reporter, but I've read about some of these things and investigating. One of the things that you'll hear often when people research a story is they'll be asked to reveal their what? Cite their what? Sources. And sometimes they're not willing to give up their sources, or sometimes maybe you find out that they didn't really have the right sources or they weren't reliable. So when it comes to fake news, what are our sources? Well, here's what the warning is from Scripture. Fake news, here's what the Bible says. Fake news only has one kind of source, sinful. Fake news only has a sinful source. You with me on that? There's no truth source when it comes to fake news. It only has a sinful source. And you may say, that's pretty harsh. Well, it's not. Because Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 5. An honest witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out what? Lies. All right, is lying sinful? Another hypothetical question only to be answered with a... Lying is sinful. So the source for false witnessing is lying, which is sinful. Then same chapter, verse 25 of chapter 14. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. Is deceit sin? Yes, it is. Had to think about that, didn't you? It is. Deceit is sin. So the source for false testimony, for false witness, is always sinful, always comes from my sinful nature. So there's never a way, we try, there's never a way to justify a false testimony and make it sound like it's something other than sinful. We can try, but it's not going to happen. According to the Scripture, it's serious because its only source is sin. Here's another reason why fake news is serious business. Fake news, even though it's fake, results in real consequences. Even though it's fake news, it results in real consequences. Fake news hurts people. You're still in Proverbs? Proverbs 25. If we're not sure how fake news can affect people, I love this verse. I think it's one of these verses that you read and you're like, I didn't even know this was in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 25, talking about fake news, the seriousness of it. Proverbs 25, verse 18. Like a club. It's not talking about the boys' club. the girls' club, it's talking about a club, like a big old bat. Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow. What are all these things in the Old Testament? Weapons. They're big old weapons. They're hurtful weapons. They're harmful weapons. They can leave a mark. A club is going to leave a bruise. A sword is going to leave a mark. And an arrow, that's just going to hurt. So, like, what is like a club, a sword, a sharp arrow? It's the person who gives a false testimony. So that's serious. When you and I wield or speak a false testimony, we're swinging a club. We're swinging a sword. We're shooting an arrow. Oh, Pastor Dave, they'll get over it. No, they won't, because fake news always brings real consequences. It's pretty serious, isn't it? Now, there's one more reason why, but before I get there, I just want to develop this third one a little bit more, because I don't want to skip this. We're talking about that this has real consequences. In the Old Testament, here are some of the consequences. You could lose your possessions if someone had a false witness against you and it was believed. You could lose your authority. You could lose your reputation. And in some cases, you could lose your life. You understand this. You remember this. That false testimony was part of what led to the death of Jesus Christ. And the first Christian martyr in the book of Acts, Stephen, part of what caused them to pick up stones, the rock, the club, the sword, the arrow, what caused them to pick up the rocks and throw them at him and stone him to death was false testimony. So that's pretty serious, real consequences. And so what happens today? What are the real consequences for us today? If someone has a false testimony against you, can it affect your character? Absolutely. Your reputation, can it stifle your career? Your influence, your testimony, your standing with your family and your community? Absolutely. But here's a fourth reason why. Again, I'm sorry, Carolyn, I'm going ahead of you and I'm not going to do that. That's not your fault, that's mine. When we say that fake news has real consequences, we're talking about to other people. I don't want to miss this as well. Do you realize that there are also consequences for the person giving the testimony? Let me read this for you. Same book, Proverbs 19, I'll just read it for you. Here's what it says. A false witness will not go unpunished, and whoever pours out lies will not go free. So fake news hurts the person you're speaking against, and it hurts you. Guess what? You become a person who spreads false testimony, people aren't going to trust you. Now I can move to the fourth one. Here's the fourth reason why it's so serious. Fake news will make or break your faith. Fake news will make or break your faith. You're like, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, let me take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, very interesting. Fake news will make or break your faith. Listen to the words of Paul. 1 Corinthians 15, starting with verse 14. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. That's pretty serious, right? But then he goes on to say, more than that, we, myself, Paul, and the other disciples, and for us today who proclaim this message, if that's true, if he did not raise from the dead, we are found to be what? False witnesses about God, for we have testified that God has raised Christ from the dead, but if he did not raise him from the dead, in fact, the dead are not raised. What it's saying here, it's a matter of life and death. It's a make or break thing when it comes to fake news. If, in fact, I'm telling you and I'm telling people that Jesus rose from the dead and he didn't, I'm giving a false testimony, we're in trouble. It has eternal implications. So false news or fake news is not just about daily life. It also affects our faith. And I'm here to tell you, I believe with all my heart that Jesus rose from the dead. It was a glorious day when I ran out of that grave. And guess what? I cannot run out of the grave unless he came out of the grave. And if it's a lie, you shouldn't be here. Really? I mean, I guess you just come to make yourselves feel better. But really, church and your faith doesn't mean anything if he doesn't rise from the dead. I'm sorry to tell you that, but since he did, it's not fake news, it's real news. So fake news is so serious because it has eternal implications. So I believe that word number 9 is important to God. But what does it look like for us today? We don't live under the law, so what does it look like today? And originally, it was a courtroom setting, and I would certainly say to you, you shouldn't go into a courtroom and lie. But I think there are implications for us today based on Ephesians 4:25. Let me read it for you. This is the challenge for New Testament people, you people in this room, the body of Christ as it relates to false testimonies. Here's what it says. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to who? Your neighbor. Who is that? Anybody that God brings in your life, friend or foe. For we are all members of one body. So as the body of Christ, followers of Christ, we are called New Testament to follow world number 9. It's relevant for us today. So what exactly does fake news look like today in the body of Christ? What should we be looking for as examples that we should be avoiding? Ready to go? Here's some fake news examples. Number 1, gossip. Gossip. Do you need a definition? I'm going to give you one. It's a casual or unrestrained or unconstrained conversation or report about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. And I love how this definition says casual, because for some of us, even in the body of Christ, we're like, oh yeah, we're just like, ooh, just throw some stuff out about people. It's so casual. And you're like, is that true? Not really sure. Guess what, folks? We violate word number 9. And here's the kicker. Come on, here we go. So you say, Pastor G, it's not gossip, because I confirmed that it was true. It's still a false testimony because it's often used to harm people. So you're violating the principle of word number 9. So does gossip hurt the body of Christ? Yes. Does it divide the body of Christ? Yes. Is it sinful? Yes. And I want you to be reminded of this. Whoever gossips to you will probably gossip about you. So be careful. Here's a second way that we sometimes exhibit fake news. Slander. It's making false or damaging statements about someone, deliberately intending to harm them. Slander. About every 2 to 4 years, slander rears its ugly head in our culture, both on TV and on the internet. It's called politics and re-election, and wow, we call it this sophisticated term, mudslinging. God calls it slander, and in the church it's called sin. Where we purposely say something about somebody to bring harm to them, and we know it's not true. And I'm looking at some of you looking at me going, Pastor Jay, we get it, but that never happens in the church. Well, maybe not in this room, but it happens in the church. It really does. And we have so many ways that we do it. Here's another way that we exhibit fake news. Word twisting. Word twisting. This is a less than accurate recounting of the details. Done in such a way, here you go, ready? Here's word twisting. A less than accurate retelling of the details done in such a way to make you the hero of the story and the other person the villain. I'm not going to look for a show of hands, but how many of you are good at spinning the truth? It's twisting the words, recounting the story, and then every once in a while you have somebody say to you, is that what they really said? And you say, I'm not sure. Then why did you say it? Why did you say it? So word twisting is another way. Here's another one, judging too quickly. That can lead to giving a false testimony. We judge people too quickly. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. This is a verse you should be learning together in your life. To answer before listening, it is folly and shame. I saw somebody this morning in the foyer. I went to go talk to them, and they weren't smiling. They looked grumpy. They looked mad. They looked mean. thought, man, you're just being a terrible Christian today. So I didn't even talk to them. And then I went over and I said to Jim Vandegrift, I said, Jim, don't even bother going over to that person because they're just grumpy today. They don't even want to talk to anybody. I can't believe it. It's so bad. Do I know what's going on in their life? No. Maybe they hit something on the way here. Maybe their car just made it here and it's not starting. Maybe they had a really bad week or a really bad morning. Maybe they have a bunch of kids and the kids were less than stellar on Father's Day. And so they're not happy. But what did I do? I judged too quickly. Guess who's really good at judging too quickly? Christians. We look at people and go, oh, there's no way possible they could be a good Christian. Why? Well, they're wearing stripes the wrong way. Really? Didn't know. Yeah, we make up all this stuff. And what happens is we don't just judge them, but then we tell other people. And you know where Christians are really good at judging other people, and we love that we have this platform now? It's called social media. If you want to be discouraged, go on Facebook and see how we bash each other. People we don't even know. We read something that someone's posted, we don't get the whole story, and we just bash them. Guess what that is, folks? It's a violation of word number 9, and we're not loving people. And it's not just about judging rashly, it's passing sentence on other people without proper discretion. Here's another way we do fake news. Spiritual assumptions. Ooh, this is like an offshoot of judging too quickly. We make spiritual assumptions. We ask somebody what church they go to. Oh, you go to a mega church? Oh. I heard that all the mega churches are terrible. They're just compromising. That's why they have all the people. Is it true that your church has pizza in the service? No. Well, somebody told me that. That's what I've been telling people. Oh, and we make these spiritual assumptions. Oh, that's the translation you use? That's unfortunate. You know that God only speaks in these and thous. Thou would doest well, est, to change thy translationeth. And you say, Pastor Jay, you're just being silly. I'm not really. We've had situations here in our church where we've had to talk either directly or indirectly to people or places where people have left our church and gone to other places. And that happens. That's okay. But sometimes they've left our church and told other people that we're going liberal. And sometimes, just not a lot, it's happened every once in a while, and here's what happens. They say, okay, tell me what they're saying to people. Oh, well, they're saying, you know, because of our music or our drums. Or those are the things they're basing it on. Listen, folks, that is a false testimony through a spiritual assumption that you cannot be godly and preach God's word and have drums and a drummer. You will not get the evil eye this morning, Jordan. Good for you. But we do this. Let's not do it. Because we're assuming things. And here's the thing. We say stuff about people or about places. This is not true. If you come to me and tell me about a church that you're bellyaching about and you say they do this, they do that, I'm going to ask you right up front, do you know this for sure? Well, it's what I heard. Is that good enough? No. Here's one final way that we can exhibit fake news. False accusations. This is really serious. No one in the body of Christ, no one in this church should ever be taking someone to court with a frivolous and false lawsuit claim. Never. That is breaking word number 9. Also, please be very careful if you're going to step forward and accuse someone in this church or accuse leadership of something in a false way. Be very careful. That's very dangerous. False accusations. We're not trying to hide under anything in God's word about things that we're trying to say that we wouldn't deal with or confront. That's not what I'm saying. But there have been Christian leaders and churches that have been taken down by people coming in and just starting to make false accusations. That is not biblical. That is not loving people. So, as we finish, how do we stop the presses? How do we stop the fake news? I'm going to give you quickly some suggestions of how we do this. How do we stop from spreading fake news? Here's the first one. Defend before you condemn. Defend before you condemn. That means before you're tossing the person under the bus, could you kind of check and see what's going on? There's a catechism. It's called the Heidelberg Catechism. I love the last part of the catechism. It says this. I should do what I can. It's talking about word number 9. I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. So defend before you condemn. Don't be so quick to be like, oh, I can't wait. Here comes the bus. Here's the second way to stop the presses. For the social media crowd, don't press send too quickly. Wait for it. Wait for it. Before you press send in the next several days or weeks, especially about a report you're putting out there or a post, maybe you just want to say to yourself, word number 9. Word number 9. And if people hear you mumbling like, what's word number 9? Say, don't spread fake news. Don't send it too quickly, right? Because are you going to be able to get it back? Nah. Here's another way to stop the presses. Check your facts and your motives. Check your facts and your motives. Why am I doing this? Why am I posting this? Why am I saying this? Well, they ticked me off. That's the wrong reason. Well, I think I have everything pretty accurate. You think? What you think may ruin their reputation. So check your facts and check your motives. You're not loving people if you don't. Here's another one. Don't retell what you are unsure of. Listen, it is not biblical to be a conduit for fake news. I'm not the messenger. I'm just the person. I just pass it along. No, I didn't create the slander or gossip. I just kind of helped it move. No. Here's another one. You're not going to like this one. I didn't like this one even when I came up with it. Sometimes when we are involved with fake news, we do it very publicly, like on social media or something else. Here's a way to stop us from doing it. Think about having to do this if you do it. Publicly make it right. If you realize, okay, now I got to come out and say I was wrong, you might think twice about doing it. So I'm suggesting this. If you repost something, seriously, if you repost something that you didn't confirm and you realize it's false, guess what you should be doing next? Posting, I was wrong. I got this wrong. I'm going to think twice about doing this again because I got it wrong. That might help us to stop the presses. Now, I noticed that in your notes, there's only these four. I came up with two more yesterday. I'm so sorry. It just came to my mind. You don't have to write them down, but here they are. Two more ways to stop the presses. Because I read about this. I loved it. Require a positive report before you receive a negative one. Maybe you have one of those friends who's all about giving those false reports or all about the gossip and the slander and say, oh, wait a second. Before you start telling me about Billy again, how bad Billy is, can you tell me one thing good about Billy? No good thing, no bad thing. Make him give you a positive statement. You'd be amazed how that'll shut stuff down. Oh, I'll have to get back to you. You do that. And here's one final way to stop the presses. Redirect to the right person. If you come to me and you got something about somebody else, and whether it's true or not, I'm not really going to even care at the beginning. You have something about somebody else, guess what? I am going to redirect you. I may even be rude. Biblically rude. Did you know there's a biblical rude? You're like, I just may go, stop talking right now. I don't want to listen to you anymore. Because this has nothing to do with me. First of all, you better make sure it's right what you're going to be saying. And secondly, you're talking to the wrong person. Go to the right person. But here's what happens. When you challenge people to do that, a lot of false testimonies stop going. Because you go to that person and you say to that person, here's what I heard about you. And that person says it's absolutely false. And you're like, oh, this isn't any fun. It's a lot more fun just to tell people that don't really know because they'll believe me. Stop it. I want to give you this final little fun video to kind of recapsulate the idea of stopping the presses and the idea of false testimony.
Julie, Eunice, and I are so glad you could join our prayer group. Lord knows we need prayer now more than ever.
Amen, sister. Barbara and I just love to lift the needs of others up in prayer.
Well, I appreciate your invitation.
Well, enough of this chitter-chatter. We got to get this show on the road. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but the Hendersons are in real need of prayer. Tom Henderson lost his job.
Did you see Tom Jr.'s haircut the other day?
It looked like a porcupine on Red Bull.
I hear Tom Sr. spends all day on the computer, looking at the internet, watching videos on the YouTube.
That's probably why he got fired.
Oh, no. His boss caught him on the surveillance camera playing Texas Hold'em.
Hold'em accountable, I say. I mean, it's one thing for housewives like us to have hobbies, but he is a man of the church. He has a family. He should know better. You know, I would like to lift up Verna Carlson. She has not been feeling very well.
What's wrong with her?
Well, I heard it was her weight, 5 pounds in 1 week.
More like 15. Someone needs to tell her that eating ice cream will not save her demonic children.
Oh, don't we know it? That little Jeffrey almost ruined the service the other day, singing at the top of his lungs for all the world to hear.
So wrong.
I have a prayer request. The Whitmans are going back to Peru for a month to build houses.
Oh, they work so hard over there in that poor country. That's a good prayer request.
They're such a nice couple. And her apple pie was the hit of the bake sale.
Oh, yeah, but what about that V-neck sweater? I mean, if it had been any lower, well, I just didn't think that it was becoming.
I noticed that too. I didn't want to say anything.
And let's not forget the dress that she wore last Easter.
I have another prayer request, for us, because, we're just sitting here gossiping, and I was thinking that, you know, we shouldn't be tearing down our brothers and sisters, we should be edifying them and lifting them up, so we should probably pray for ourselves.
Well, I guess you're right.
We should know better.
Yes, we should.
No, I do it too. I mean, last week at the picnic, I told everybody that Betty's son was going to jail, and I found out he's going to Yale.
Well, I don't know what happened to us.
You know who's really bad at gossip?
Who?
All right, I just want to give you something to maybe help you be reminded as we really try to follow word number 9. At the end here, just a truth acronym. Here it is. The T is trustworthy, is what we're saying, trustworthy. Then the R is it reliable? The U is it unbiased? And what I mean by unbiased is, why are we saying this? What is our purpose for using this, or what is our motive for using this? Do we have a bias against that person which is causing us to say these things? T, is it timely? Sometimes the best way to avoid false testimony is to think about timing. Is it timely? Is it necessary? And then the H is it helpful? So trustworthy, reliable, unbiased, timely, and helpful. If we use this, I think it'll help us to follow this word number 9 more consistently. Why don't you stand together with me? We certainly want to love our neighbors, love people the way God has called us to. Let's close in prayer. God, thank you for your word and the challenge of it. And God, I pray for us as a church and as your people, as we go out and interact with each other and with our coworkers, with our neighbors, with our friends, with our family, school people, all these kind of things, there is that strong temptation to say things that just aren't quite accurate about people. And God, help us to be convicted of the fact that we're not really loving them, whether they are our friend or someone that maybe gives us a hard time. We are not loving them the way that you have called us to. So I pray that we would take to mind what we heard today, allow your spirit to convict us and guide us and direct us so that we are faithful and doing what's right and that we are consistently speaking the truth and not spreading fake news. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed.
Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love.